All right. I love those songs. I love those songs. Let's go ahead and begin. You know, we've been studying out of the book of Peter. And we have been concerning ourselves with the way in which Christians live. And so this morning, as I was going through the lesson and a couple other things kind of compiled it, I thought of that idea that we are actually sojourners and pilgrims, not southerners and pilgrims, sojourners and pilgrims. I had sent a brother, Matt sent me a text earlier this evening. He said, "What's the theme?" And I typed pilgrims and sojourners, and it came up pilgrims and southerners. And he sent me a text back and said, "What do you got against southerners?" And so, sojourners and pilgrims. And so the question, what is it that Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, what is it they all have in common with us today? So you see, we all together are sojourners and pilgrims in a very pagan land. If you look in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13, beginning at verse 13, and I have it on the screen if that helps you at all. But in this letter, we read these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the land. You see, for those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. God's not ashamed. He's prepared a city. Jesus says, "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will return and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, you may be also." That is what we're doing in this world. We are sojourners and pilgrims in a pagan land. You remember Paul, or Peter, in what, 1 Peter chapter 1, he said, he called them the pilgrims of the dispersion. They were out into Asia Minor and all those cities just being pushed out there because of persecution. In chapter 2 and verses 11 and 12, Peter refers to them as sojourners and pilgrims. And so that's what the Christians were called. That's what the early saints of the Old Testament were called. They, like us, are looking for a better place. We're looking for a house that is built without hands, a house that is built in heaven that has a sure foundation in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we're here for that reason. That's why we're here. We love the Lord, as Brother Randy said when he opened up tonight. What else is there? We love the Lord. We're here because we want to worship Him in spirit and truth. He's given us the spirit and truth. And so we want to talk a little bit of what is a pilgrim? Just quickly, a pilgrim, when you think about this, a pilgrim, it means sojourning. There's that word. In a strange place, a foreigner. In the New Testament, in reference to heaven as a native country, metaphorically, that's exactly what that means, that we're sojourners on earth as Christians, as saints of God. Hebrews 11 and 13, remember, they confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. They don't belong here. This is not my home. I love that song. As Christians today, it's describing who's that final citizenship that we have in heaven. We're just temporary dwellers here. It's like going camping for the weekend, only it's a lifelong camping trip. And so, Paul, our citizenship is in heaven. That's what we eagerly await for. That's why we're here. What is a pagan? We're in a pagan world. We really are. There are pagans. In fact, you know, they actually have Pagan Day down here on the boulevard. I walked into a shop. We were passing out flyers for a gospel meeting and walked into a shop and the people were all laughing at me because, do you know where you are? I said, yeah, I'm in the... But we're pagans, so can I put my poster in your window or not? So we're amongst pagans. A pagan is a person who does not acknowledge our God, your God. I don't know why that's in small. I guess I copied that. A pagan is somebody who does not acknowledge our God, not acknowledge the one and only true God of Christianity. I typed that. Right? And we need to note that Judaism, they're not acknowledging God as they should, the Messiah. And Ishmael, the leader, the founder, therefore, of Islam. We all have the same God. Whether you're a pagan and you don't believe, or whether you are a believer, or whether you're a Jew, or some other culture, religion, there's only one God. Abraham was 86 years old when Sarah gave Hagar the maiden to him, and together they had a baby, Ishmael. And we think some... One motivated by desires for sensual pleasures. There you are. That's the pagan world that we live in. So what are the evidences of the pagan world? Well, one of them is atheism and humanism. That's on the increase. And it's worthy to just kind of pay attention to that. I know that over the years I've talked about it. Brother Ron had a great sermon on that. It'd be worth going back and listening to that. But paganism or atheism and humanism, boy, you know, Barna, this is from 2018. I couldn't find the newest report. The percentage points of all religious segments saw little or no shift over a decade from 2003 to 2012. But Christianity in the United States had witnessed a significant loss of followers from 81%. In 2003 to 72%. But notice this. Meanwhile, the atheist, agnostic, non-segment has seen the greatest increase of all groups analyzed, nearly doubling in size from 11% in 2003 to 21% in 2018. They're not going anywhere. And the reason that they're doubling, first of all, you don't have to believe anything except you have to believe there is no God. You don't have to believe anything. You can be an atheist and do anything, believe anything, live any way you want. It's an easy club to get into. All you have to do is deny the Creator. And they're in the schools. They're in the workforce. They're in the government. They're in every station of life. And that's why they're growing so quickly, because they're motivated. So what do you do? What do you do? Right? It means there's a lot of opportunities, one. And two, it means we need to get to work. Okay? What about another aspect here, evidence of a pay? Easy divorce and abortion. Today, some 39%, it says, of marriages in the United States are ending in divorce. And that's from data of the most recent census, February 2020. And so, you know, we know that divorce is a big problem, but not in the pagan society. And when it comes to that, you know, the highlights of the divorce, or rather of abortion, the second point there, abortion. I looked at what it's called the worldometer, and it tracks things constantly on the internet. It's kind of an interesting thing to look at. It tracks deaths, it tracks COVID cases, it tracks cancer, it tracks births, it tracks all kinds of things. And one thing that it tracks is abortions. And so abortions worldwide this year at 304 today was 10,105,712. That's worldwide abortions. So that's a problem. That's not going away. And that's because the pagan world doesn't really care too much about human life. What does that mean? I'll tell you what it means. It means that there's a lot of opportunities out there. Again, that's number one. And number two, it means we need to get to work. Another aspect of a pagan land is homosexuality and same-sex marriage. In the Washington, D.C., the percentage of American adults identified as lesbians, gay, bisexual, transsexual, LGBT increased 4.5%, up from 4.1%. And these are old numbers. I was trying real hard to find some newer numbers here today, but it's still increasing. And so I want you to think about this. We have somebody that was just elected. The first time a transgender individual was elected into the health department in the United States government. And when we think of that, the population of LGBT and the gay population, it's at its highest point in 6 years, according to the Gallup poll. The increase has been driven almost totally, get this, by millennials whose self-reports of being LGBT, they've risen tremendously over the last few years from 5.2% to 8.1%. So there are people out there dealing with that in a big way. What about ridicule of the Christian faith? That's going on out there. That's part evidence of a pagan land when people, they don't like you just because you're Christian. According to Christianity Today in 2020, there are now 50 countries where it is pretty much dangerous to be called a Christian. North Korea, Afghanistan, Somalia, Libya, Pakistan, just to name a few, Yemen, Iran, India, the Sudan, there are 50 of them. It's not so bad here right now, is it? It's not so bad, and we can praise God for that. He's in control of all these things. But we don't want to forget the point, because the next slide is actually kind of disturbing in that sense. There's something that was introduced. It's called the Equality Act. And I hope it doesn't pass. It sounds really good. I mean, who wouldn't vote for equality? But you need to look at that and make sure you don't vote. And I'm not trying to be political, but this is dangerous for us. The Equality Act has been called the most invasive threat to religious liberty ever proposed in America. It will forbid discrimination. That sounds really good, right? On the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity. Also, in addition, this is crucial, the act forbids appeal to the 1993 Religious Freedom Restoration Act. Okay, what else? Faith-based hospitals. If this act passes, faith-based hospitals, they may have to violate their religious beliefs and do gender transition therapies. Children will be allowed to, under this act, to seek gender changes. Children, they're already doing it. But this is this is all about the pagan land. Without parental consent, faith-based adoption and foster care agencies could be forced to place children in same-sex couples, or they lose their license. It would be called discrimination. If this act's passed, it would assimilate sex-specific facilities. In other words, men and girls' bathrooms, girls and men's bathrooms, men running races with women, women, you know, back and forth. The last one here, faith-based schools, businesses could be forced to violate their beliefs regarding homosexual activity, or they get fined, censored, or even worse, the last one, churches. You know, a church, and we've already talked about this here, but a church that rents their facility out for weddings or, you know, they have dining, fellowship halls and things, a church that rents out their facility to the public can be forced to rent them for same-sex marriages and other LGBTQ events. So it's coming. According to the Advocate, the Equality Act introduced into Congress March 13, 2019, will endanger women. Wagner, the speaker, further called the legislation intolerant and deceptively titled. And there are far more dangerous than being disenfranchised, like at an athlete competition, the most invasive threat to religious liberty ever proposed in America. So those are things that are part of a pagan culture. Removing God from public discourse, politically correct speech. There was an article here, the mechanism to protect liberty and equality, called the PC, right? Politically correct. It's a strong, inclusive position according to which individuals require, see what it says? It says they require moral equality in all aspects of life, regardless of religion, race, age, ethnicity, sex, or gender. When you drive down the street and you see that bumper sticker that says, you know, it has the Judaism and the Russian Orthodox and Catholicism and Christianity and whatever, and they want you to, you know, just blend in and everybody be the same. We all have the same God. That's what it'll be. PC advocates many affirmative action to restrict free speech with speech codes. There are colleges where there are certain words you can't use. I went to a gas station up here last year, and there was a man there who was dressed like a woman. And when I said, "Excuse me, sir," I got criticized by the owner of the gas station and by that man. He didn't like that. But that is politically incorrect. So they have codes now. Things that you can and cannot say. What happened to free speech? Well, however this goes, the problem is that when you start to restrict the speech, it'll end up in the church. There's no question. So how then shall we live? How do we live? How do you deal with this? When you're in the world, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through, right? If heaven's not my home, O Lord, what will I do? What do I do while I'm here, though? I'm waiting and I'm waiting. Come, Lord, come quickly, the Scripture says. What do I do? How do I live? Well, we've already talked about that quite a bit. We live in a pagan world, in a land full, we're pilgrims, and what should we do? Number one, hope. Hang on to that hope. Remember from our lessons, we have a living hope. Our living hope is in a resurrected Savior. Our living hope is in Jesus Christ. Our living hope is in God, who by His power has reserved a place for us in heaven. Got that hope. So live by that hope. Understand that no matter what happens in this world, we live like the Apostle Paul, who said to live is Christ, to die is gain. You listen to those words and don't misunderstand it. To live is Christ in this world. He's here with us. His Spirit's with us. His Word is here. It guides and directs our footsteps. It's a lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path. Live for Jesus. Remember, that's a great song, right? Live for Jesus. But we have this hope, this living hope, that the grace of God is more powerful than anything else that goes on in this world. So we live up to that. What else do we do? Peter said, be holy, right? We are the holy children of God, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And so we need to live like that. We need to believe that really deep down. I don't want to shake my speaker, but in the heart. We want to be able to not only live it here, but we want to live it out there in such a way that people will be drawn to it. Why are you so happy? It's raining out there. Hey, like Brother Randy always says, if it's raining, that means God's watering the world out there. It's, rain is good. We need the changes of the seasons because of God's design. We live as the holy children of God. We live because we are holy through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we want our lives to reflect that. We want other people to see that. We don't want to just hold it and hide it and, you know, treasure it in our heart and hang on. We want to express it. It's got to get out there. You know, metaphorically, spiritually, you know, imaginatively, cut a hole in your chest and pull that heart out and show it to people. This is Jesus Christ, my Lord. I'm a holy person because of His blood that sanctified me. I'm a holy person because I love Him and keep His commandments like He told me. I'm a holy person because I have and serve and live by a holy God in heaven. So we need to be that way. How else do we live in this crazy pagan world, this world full of atheism and homosexuality and abortion and divorce and just all kinds of terrible things? How do we do that? Well, we've already studied that, haven't we? We love one another fervently. We build it up. We love so much that there's no way on earth that I'm going to let you hurt without me hurting too. We share together in our infirmities. We work together, and when there's dissension, we work together through the Spirit in love and unity. Those are the things that we do. That's what it's all about. For God so loved the world, that's you and me, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting love. And He loved us so much that while we were still in our sins, Christ died for us. Love. Not a superficial thing, but deep, abiding, obedient, sacrificial, servicing kind of love. We're all one together in this. Remember the lesson. We're not individuals that make up an individual church. We are members of one body in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are united together in love with Christ. So we do that. That's how you get through this pagan world. That's how you can live day to day and not be overcome by all this craziness. Another way that we do this is desire the Word of God. We need to desire God's Word. We need God's Word to be so much a part of our lives that we just couldn't imagine. I mean, we could not even imagine a day without it. We need to hunger and thirst after righteousness. You know, we're studying that on Wednesday night. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. We need to be a people that just can't get through the day. We need to be the people in the book of Psalm chapter 1, right? We need to be that man that his love is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. We need to be a people like in Psalm 19, the law is the Lord of his perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and keeping them there is great reward. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Jesus Christ is the Word in the beginning that came down from heaven and became flesh and dwelled among us. We beheld His glory, the glory of the Word of God. The Word that by all things were made, without Him was not anything made. We live loving the Word. And I mentioned a sermon ago, we eat, sleep, and drink the Word. It's a fantastic thing. So that's how we get to. We also proclaim the praises of God. Peter said that. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. We're going to proclaim the praises of God. That's what Brother Randy did in the opening. God is our Creator. He's a wonderful, a mighty God. This morning I heard, I think it was Matt, somebody, and I apologize if I didn't get this right, but somebody was telling us that He's the mighty God. We think of Jesus Christ, and we think of Psalm 53 and the descriptions there of who He is. Boy, oh boy. There's no God like Him. He's the mighty Counselor. He's wonderful. That's what was He was called wonderful this morning. What a great word to describe an omnipotent and omnipresent and omniscient God. The God that in Revelation 4 and 8, He was, He is, and He shall be again. Eternal, forever. No beginning, no end. The Alpha, the Omega. This is God. He is the one. And there are none like Him. He is the mighty Counselor. And He is the one that we praise and we proclaim. We praise and proclaim because of who He is. Glorify God with our good works. That's another way we do that. We don't just follow the pattern. You know, it's like when we talked about wives today. You know, if there's a problem in the home, if your husband doesn't want to go to church, you go to church. If your husband doesn't want to worship, you worship. If your husband doesn't want to serve, you serve. And by doing that, you glorify God by your good works. Other people see your good works. Somebody wants you to go to the bar, you don't go to the bar. Somebody wants you to join in on some bad joke, you don't join in on the bad joke. Somebody wants you to skip worship so that you can go to the ball game, you don't go to the ball game. You glorify God with your good works, with your good decisions. You let other people see those things. Matthew chapter 5, what are we? You are the light of the world. We don't hide that light under a bushel where people, we put it out where everybody can see. So that's the way that we live in a pagan world. And that's how we overcome. And Peter says we endure hardship, patiently endure hardships. There are going to be times as we live in this world that maybe persecution will come, maybe sickness comes, sorrows come, maybe some family member is struggling and it becomes a burden and a hardship. Maybe, just maybe. You lose your job. Maybe you lose all that income. Maybe your house burns down. I don't know, but there are hardships in this world. And Jesus knew the hardships better than anybody. Again, in our previous sermons, Jesus, you know, the birds have nests. Jesus has nowhere to lay His head. The birds have nests. The foxes have holes. Jesus has nowhere to lay His head. He knew what it meant to endure hardship. Not just the persecution, not just the trying to stone Him and kill Him, not just the terrible questions and the constant Pharisees trying to trip Him up and cause Him to stumble and the disbelief. Jesus knew hardship. Paul knew hardship, right? 40 stripes. What did he say? 3 times? 40 stripes minus 1? Right? Shipwreck, hungered, in the deep. Cold, naked. He knew hardship, but He got through it. Because the vessel that carries us is Jesus Christ. The vessel that carries us is the Word of God. The vessel that carries us is the most powerful thing in the world. You guys are all ships in the world. Right? And you all have sails. And when Jesus talks, when the Word of God speaks, your sails are lifted up and filled up with the air, the breath of God, right? All Scripture is God-breathed. Good for doctrine, reproof, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That mouth of God has breathed the Scriptures. The Scriptures are a powerful source, and they just fill up your sails. And they'll just push you along on that good road. Patiently enduring hardships. Believe it or not, we're just passing through. This world is not our home. And I don't care if you're a Christian or not a Christian, this world is not our home. And one of two things is going to happen as we're passing through this world. We, you know, if we die or if Christ comes back, either case, it's the same. One of them is that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 through 10, Jesus is going to come back in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon those who do not know God. Worse than not knowing God, though, if I could just have a little liberty, worse than not knowing God is knowing God and not obeying God. Jesus is coming back in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. There shall be punishment and everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. What a terrible thought. But that's going to happen. And we're all sojourners, whether we're members of the body of Christ or not. We're all just kind of living here, and we're all here, and there's going to be a time when we won't be here. The Lord is going to come back with power. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, though, it could be a different scenario as we sojourn through this land, as we're just passing through. The Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout of the archangel and the voice of, or with a trump of God and a shout and the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ will rise up first. And we who remain will be raised up together with them, caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord and be with Him forevermore. We're all sojourners. And the real issue is that we have to live in this world as long as our heart beats, as long as we have breath. Why not make the best of it? And why not walk and live in such a way that glorifies God and assures your home in heaven, that place? You know, we all have those two choices. Well, those are your choices, and it's up to you. No one's going to force you. We choose freely to follow that path that leads to heaven or not. We have a song of invitation in all the songs tonight. We have such good song leaders. I'm so glad, because I'm not real good at picking out songs. This world is not my home, 715. I'm just passing through. You know, my treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I hope that's resounding in your heart, and I hope that's true for you. Tonight, the baptismal waters are warm and they're ready. We're here to help you in any way, shape, or form, and if you have a need in another way to repent or to ask for prayers or counsel, we're here to do that too as we stand and sing this song. This world is not